Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. You have Psalm 62 in front of you this evening. I would invite you to follow along as I read these words aloud from the book that we love. It says this: "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what they have done." Amen. Something concerning is happening. Something is amiss. Something is troublesome. Something to worry about. And apparently for some time. Now Psalm 62 doesn't tell us what, it doesn't even tell us how long, but pulling from our own experiences, reading through the lens of our own personal experiences, it's not difficult for us to fill in the blanks of what it could be. The diagnosis. The bully at school. The adversary at work. Job insecurity. High prices. Budgets stretched. Meltdown of sanity of those who are to be public servants. Repeated poor performances on the court or in the classroom or at the work proposal. Relationship issues, temptations that we too often succumb to. Hearing only the words that tear us down. Those are just a few things off the top of the head. The psalmist doesn't tell us what is going on. It could be a personal foe. It could be the provoking of another nation. It could be an internal rebellion. It could be the frustration with subordinates. It could be general fatigue from always having to be the answer person. It could be the weariness from constant complaints. Or it could be something else altogether. But whatever it is, it's here. And it's been there a while. How long is the cry that is in verse 3? And whatever it is, the psalmist, who is believed to be David, he feels attacked. He feels vulnerable. It says he's a leaning wall, a tottering fence. That's the visual, the vivid visual metaphor of how he feels. He's rocked and he's reeling. He's ready to fall at any moment due to the hypocrites and the liars who say one thing but believe another. Those who are blessing with their words of their mouth but are cursing with the words of their hearts. That's how David feels. And maybe we feel the same tonight. Maybe that image of a leaning wall, of a tottering fence, is an appropriate one for us. That we're upright, but barely. We're standing, but we're swaying something severe. And maybe it's because of the reasons we mentioned a moment ago, or maybe it's something else altogether, but something is rocking us, like a jab from a heavyweight prize fighter. We are stunned, and we're reeling, and we're staggering, and we feel vulnerable, and we feel exposed. Do we share this sentiment with the psalmist tonight? You know, this evening, this Monday, Thursday has always felt like a different night to me. And I understand Monday, Thursday's focus is often upon the new commandment that Jesus gives, the one we talked about at the beginning of our time together. And it's about celebrating the Lord's Supper that Jesus inaugurated, initiated that night. And I know that tomorrow is Good Friday, where the focus is on the actual death and the sacrifice of Jesus. But there's always been something different about this night. And maybe it's linked to those words that we use to initiate and to institute the Lord's Supper when we say, on the same night in which Jesus was betrayed. That's tonight. That's this night. The night where things are pushed into motion and there's no going back. We have passed the last exit ramp. Tonight is the night where Jesus will be betrayed. Tonight is the night where He will be arrested. Tonight is the night where He will be falsely accused. Tonight is the night where He will be denied. Tonight is the night where He will be interrogated. Tonight is the night where He will be sentenced to death. You talk about something concerning. Here's how the psalmist responds. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. The psalmist says that he finds rest in God. And this word rest here in this context means a stillness. Silence, an absolute trust in none other but God. The one David says is his hope and his salvation. The one David describes as his rock and his fortress, a firm foundation, a top place of security. That's David's rest. Such that even though the attacks come, and even though the attacks keep coming, even though David feels exposed and vulnerable, he says, I will not be shaken. The literal reading of that from the Hebrew says it this way, I will not ever seriously be shaken. Because the reality that you and I know is, yes, things will rattle. Yes, things will turn topsy-turvy and upside down. Yes, those things will happen. Things will shake and things will quake. But David is saying, the core of who I am remains because my hope and my salvation is in God and in God alone. 4 times that word shows up in 4 verses, verse 1, 2, 5, and 6. Alone. In the midst of concerns where David places his trust, where he's able to rest, it's not in stature, it's not in position, either high or low, as verse 9 says. It's not in wealthy riches, it's not in accumulation of items and things, as it says in verse 10. But David says he finds rest in God and in God alone. In everything, in God alone. In the midst of concerns and troubles, in God alone. When things are rattling and shaking and coming unglued, say those 3 words with me, in God alone. No matter what comes His way, in God alone. Friends, can we do the same? On this most difficult night for Jesus, I believe that we see this psalm lived out. Where yes, there is so much, so very much for Him to be concerned about, and yet there's no doubt that Jesus was troubled about what was to come. But Jesus finds rest in God. He rests in his Father's plan that his will be done. We catch a glimpse of this in the other passage we have before us tonight in John 18. If you have your Bibles, you can flip there at this time. I'm going to read this passage aloud. John 18, 1 through 11, it says this. When he, that's Jesus, had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was an olive grove, and he and his disciples went into it. Now, Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place, because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and the Pharisees. They were carrying torches and lanterns and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" There's two things that immediately jump out at me in this passage. A passage that throughout we find Jesus finding rest. Even when these religious leaders are coming and they want the worst for him, even when Jesus is vulnerable, even when things are exponentially concerning around him, we find Jesus at rest. The first thing that jumps out to me here is actually something that happens before this passage, but is testified to in the first five words of John 18. It says this, when he had finished praying. Jesus prays to God. The entire chapter previous to this, John 17, is a prayer. And that takes us back to Psalm 62, the one command in Psalm 62 where it says, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." Listen to that middle part again. Pour out your hearts to him. Empty yourself before the Lord. Dump all those things that you've been storing up inside and place it upon him. He will take it. He welcomes it. He is our refuge and we can trust in him. That's what Jesus just got done doing. Pouring his heart out to his Father. And friends, we believe that it's through prayer that we come to know God. We come to know God as our hope and as our salvation. We come to recognize God as our rock and our fortress. We come to know God and we come to know his plan. And so that we can come and rest in him. That's where Jesus begins. And the second thing that stands out to me here relates to that a bit. We find in this passage that this detachment of soldiers and religious leaders have arrived, and we're told even that they're carrying lanterns and torches and weapons. But then the very next verse says all about Jesus finding rest despite the circumstances. Look at John 18, verse 4. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, none of this is a surprise to Jesus. None of this is a surprise to him. Through his relationship with the Father, he was aware of the Father's plans and what was lying ahead. He knew, and because he knew, and because he trusted the Father's plan, and because, in the words of the psalmist, he found his rest in God alone, we see him at rest throughout the entirety of this passage. I'm going to go out on a limb here this evening, and I'm going to guess that I am not the only one who stands in awe of Jesus in this passage here in verse 18, where Jesus, despite the betrayal of Judas, Jesus, despite the armed guards that are before him, we find how Jesus is in charge of all the happenings. He knows. And he's at rest. I mean, think about it with me. It's Jesus, even before this passage, right? Before the detachment comes, it's Jesus who picks the spot where to go with his disciples. A spot where he frequented often. A spot where Judas knows. Jesus is not hiding here. And it's Jesus who initiates contact. He's the one who goes out to meet the detachment. It's Jesus who asks the first question, who is it you want? When he knows full well who they're after. And it's Jesus whose response causes that detachment to fall back and to fall down. And it's Jesus who repeats the question, who is it you want? And he once again tells them, I am he. And it's Jesus in that answer is saying so much more than what we see in the English. Because when Jesus says, I am he, that's the Greek words, ego eimi, which means I am. It is a clear and unmistakable claim to his divinity. I am the holy name of God. Jesus is not hiding anything. In fact, he's making a bold declaration, hence the falling back and the falling down. And even more than that, it's Jesus who will heal the ear of Malchus after Peter. Peter, who understandably, Peter, a guy who is not at rest in this passage, he's trying to defend his friend. And it's Jesus who declares at the end that he knows God's plan and will follow God's will. See, over and over and over again, we see Jesus in control of this passage. Actually, control is not the right word. We see Jesus trusting in God at all times. We see Jesus seeing God as his rock and his fortress. We see that despite all the things and knowing all the things that are to come, we see that Jesus is not shaken. It's not control. Jesus is at rest. I want to be ever so clear that I would never even remotely begin to compare my own concerns or our shared concerns, our troubles, our worries to anything close to that which Jesus is going through and will go through. But regardless of how high or low the stakes are in our lives right now, the challenge is the same that is before us. See, we do have concerns. We do have troubles. We do feel vulnerable at times. The world around us does shake and quake, yes? What do we do? Do we put trust in our own power? Or in wealth? Or in our abilities? Or do we find rest in God alone? Friends, let me just ask you tonight, what's troubling you on this evening? What's going on in life that's making us feel like we are under attack? What's causing us to lean and to totter and it's hard for us to stay upright? Where are we hurting? What's frustrating, confusing? Reflecting on those things, naming those things as a part of the hard work of Lent and even now into the heart of Holy Week. And it could be something that's so very tangible, some of those things that we named earlier this evening, or it could be that spiritual battle that is brewing within our hearts and our souls where the attention isn't so much on those things that are happening, but really answering the question, where will we place our trust? That's part of what this season is about. That's part of what this week is about. That's part of what this night is about. That's part of what our faith journey is about. That's even what our vision is about here at Westview Church, that when things are hard and when things are troublesome and when things are frustrating and it feels like we are vulnerable and exposed and weak, will it be God in whom we place our hope and our salvation? Will it be God in whom we find to be our rock and our fortress? Will it be God in whom we put our trust in at all times and in Him alone? Will we find our rest in God? That's the word of David in this psalm. That amidst all the things, whatever they might be, he says, my soul finds rest in God alone. And that's the witness of Jesus on this night, resting in the plan of God. And that's why on this night, the night that Jesus was betrayed, the night that Jesus was arrested, the night that he was falsely accused, the night that he was denied and interrogated and sentenced to death, that's why, despite all of those things that are weighing heavy on him, that's how Jesus could come and gather his disciples around this meal. And how Jesus could talk about the punishment his body would take because of the sins, your sins, my sins, their sins. And how Jesus could talk about his blood that was about to be shed for the forgiveness of those sins. That's why Jesus, who's resting upon God, how he could invite those disciples, invite you and me, his disciples, to join him here around this table to remember who he is and what he has done, to experience fellowship with him and through him with the Father, and how we then can proclaim the hope that is ours, knowing that this night, nor tomorrow night, nor Saturday is the end of the story. Jesus was at rest, trusting in his Father alone. May it be the same for us, that our souls might find rest in God alone. And in this work of finding rest, Wesley, let us receive God's grace together tonight here at the table of our Lord and Savior. And before we come, let's be in prayer. Would you please pray with me? God, we come before you tonight in worship. We glorify you. We praise you, who you are and all that you have done. And most of all, God, on this very night, we worship you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the eternal Word, who has made flesh for us and for our salvation. And God, we praise you for this precious gift of a mighty and wonderful Savior who has made us right with you. And so together with all the saints in heaven and with all the church on earth, we worship and adore your glorious name. We cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. God, you are a righteous God. And in this supper, we remember tonight the perfect sacrifice that was offered by Jesus Christ on the cross for my sins, for our sins, for the sin of the whole world. And even as we remember that sacrifice of Jesus, we sneak peek just a little ahead and we remember the good news of resurrection that is to come in a few short days. And even now on this night, we peek even further ahead to the time in which Jesus will come again and he will make all things new and all things right and all things whole, and things will be as they were always intended to be. This is the mystery of the faith that we profess, that Christ has died and Christ is risen and Christ will come again. And so now, Holy Spirit, we pray that as we eat bread and we drink this cup, that it would be to us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that as we partake of these elements together, God, your grace would fall upon us in a mighty and powerful way, that we might be encouraged, that we might be nourished, that we might grow up into all things, into Jesus Christ, who is the head of our lives and of this body and of the church. And we pray, God, that as your grace would fall upon us tonight, that it would allow us to indeed to find our rest in you and in you alone. This we ask in the precious and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.